Thank you for that introduction. My name is Javier Fernandez Salvador. I'm a PhD student at Oregon State University. I work with Dr. Bernadine Strick and Dr. Dave Bryla, and this is a project that I conducted for my master's, where I'm going to be talking to you today about the impact of liquid fertilizers that were injected through the fertigation system on blackberry cultivars. So why did we conduct these studies? There's a general interest from the growers, not only organic but conventional, on the sustainability of the crop, and not only by the environmental benefits of growing organically, but also on the economic benefits that could come of because of the higher demand and also the potential for industry growth. And we also found that there's a need to determine the cultivar differences regarding nutrient uptake and how they respond to these different fertilizers, as well as assessing how the fertigation system would perform and if it's clogging over time when we inject those liquid fertilizers through the system. So just a little bit introduction about Oregon blackberry production. In conventional crops, this is a very important crop for the state. Currently, about 6,800 acres being harvested, and which account for about a little over 50 million pounds. And the majority of it is processed, and there has been an increase in the price paid from previous years, so the price keeps on increasing for processed blackberries. And in regard to the organic blackberry production, about 350 farms certified in the United States that grow organic blackberries, with a crop value of about $4.6 million. And acreage has increased from about 180 to almost 500 acres in 2008. The price premium for organic Marion in Oregon sees about 33% more per pound than conventional. And the price premium also has increased about 17% more for organic blackberries when you see only about a 5% increase for conventional blackberries. This is a part of a larger grant, a larger project, and I just wanted to mention briefly here that the study was conducted in Aurora, Oregon, but there's another separate study that we conducted with a grower collaborator a little bit in more of a center part of the state in the Willamette Valley, and I have a poster downstairs that you guys can stop by and check out to see the results in that project, that part of the project. Now, regarding the particular study objectives, we looked at two organically approved liquid fertilizers that were fertigated and their impact on plant growth, yield, fruit quality for two machine harvested cultivars and processing cultivars. And we wanted to assess the impact of these fertilizers on the drip irrigation and fertigation system. The study site in Aurora, which was all entirely a Willamette silt loam, established using tissue culture plants in spring 2010 and certified organic in the year 2012, which was the first fruiting season. The plants were fertigated using a single drip line under the wheat mat. You can see the wheat mat on each row. That was used for weed control, and it was a polyethylene ground cover, a woven polyethylene ground cover. In regards to the fertilization study, it was conducted from 2011 to 2013, the establishment year, and the subsequent first and second fruiting seasons. The experimental design had two cultivar and fertilizer as treatments arranged in a randomized complete block design with five replicates. The cultivars that we looked at were Marion and Black Diamond, very important cultivars in the state right now. Marion, the staple blackberry crop for Oregon. It's a trailing blackberry, thorny, that mostly gets machine picked currently. And Black Diamond, a thornless cultivar that has grown a lot in the state for mainly because of that thornless quality that reduces any contamination once it's machine harvested. In regards to the fertilizers, we looked at a corn steep liquor and fish waste digestion, and a fish soluble and molasses blend. So both fertilizers had an vegetable component and an animal component. We started with a 56 kilograms per hectare rate on 2011-2012, and then we increased to 90 kilograms per hectare in 2013. I'm going to run this video. I hope the volume is not... there we go. This is what we... when we looked at the drip performance, we wanted to see if flushing... There's a thought in general from the organic growers that if you flush your lines, there will be less clogging over time. So we wanted to see if this actually holds. And so at the during the season, we flushed the line before it was the liquid fertilizers were first injected, after each fertilization, and then after the complete fertigation for the season was done. This is the way that they were flushed. At the end of each plot, we added an additional valve and a discharge hose that would just drain all of the solubles into the middle of the row. So as you can see, each time there was some of the residues that were that you can see clearly in that bucket that were getting accumulated, and we actually wanted to see if this was affecting the performance of the system. This is the injection system that we used, and there you go with the valve that I was referring at the end of each plot. Now, the data collected included plant growth, number of primocanes, floricanes, and yield components, as well as plant and soil nutrient status, and a water volume per plot with six emitters being measured for the total volume that was collected over a five minute period of time. In the pictures you see on the right, this is how we elevated the drip line and then put all of the different beakers to collect the water volume under. And here you see the machine harvester going through each plot for collecting of fruit. When we talk about machine harvested yield and fresh fruit quality, the data included marketable yield and total yield. And a subsample was taken of 25 berries to determine berry weight on average and percent soluble solids, as well as fruit firmness. In regards to the result, we see that there was a reduction in yield from 2012 to 2013 that was significant. We also saw that the fertilizer had no significant effect for the majority of the yield and fruit quality variables, with the exception of fruit weight, which was higher in corn, when the cultivars were fertilized with corn. And the cultivars specifically, all of them performed differently, yes, and were significant. And Black Diamond having the highest total yield and marketable yield, but the lowest soluble solid content. And Marion having the softest fruit, the less firm fruit. In regards to leaf tissue and nutrient concentration, we saw in the primocane leaf analysis that potassium and zinc concentrations were greater than with fish when the plants were fertilized with fish than with corn. And the primocane leaf tissue nutrient concentrations were within the recommendations, the recommended levels for Oregon, with the exception of calcium and boron that were under the recommended levels. And if a grower would want to be under that range, they would have to have supplemental applications of those two nutrients. And the cultivars, of course, differed in their macro and micronutrient leaf concentration as we thought would happen. In regards to soil, there was an increase in soil organic matter and calcium from 2012 to 2013, and a reduction in soil phosphorus. The soil nutrients were within the recommended range except for boron in this case, which would have to be, and there would need to be a supplemental application if you want to stay within, if a grower would want to stay within the adequate range. And each fertilizer source had varying levels of micro and micronutrients, which may lead to a need for adjusting rates over time. Just for the sake of time, I was not able to include all the data that we looked at, but we did analysis on all of the different batches of fertilizers that we got on each year. Also, in regards to the results, Marion had a larger canopy size than Black Diamond, as you can see, in both years, as expected, and this happens also in conventional crops. And this was very interesting. Marion had a larger canopy size when fertilized with fish than with corn. In that picture, you really don't see that difference. But the difference came when we were caning out. Caning is the practice that growers do at the end of the season, where they cut all of the floricanes that are already produced and usually leave them in between the aisles to be flailed and return that nutrient. In our case, we weighed that amount before doing the flailing, and we saw that that fish produce a larger canopy size. In regards to the results for flow, this is what a lot of people were most interested in. There was absolutely no difference in between the two fertilizers, corn steep liquor and fish hydrolyzed emulsion. The two pretty much worked the same in regards to water flow after they were injected. And there was no difference between the drip maintenance, so flushing of the lines didn't account for any improvement on flow rate. Now, it was very interesting to see that flow rates were reduced in about 4.5% on the first year and in about 19% on the second year. And from we were also expecting another reduction on the following year, but we stopped collecting at that point. We did see in the in these pictures, you can see that this is the drip line that we pulled out from under the wheat mat after two seasons of being fertigated. So clearly, there's some accumulation of something that is reducing that water flow. And this is the actual emitter in a horizontal cut that we did. And we saw this accumulation of organic matter in the middle. And here in the bottom picture, you see on top the line that was used for the three seasons, and in the bottom, a brand new line. So we think, we haven't really done a follow-up study on this, which would be very interesting, but we think that the reduction might be caused by iron bacteria. Now, a little bit about conclusions. Overall, there was no fertilizer source effect on plant growth, yield, and fruit quality. And both fertilizers were suitable for planting establishment and for the first production years. Both fertilizers can successfully be fertigated, and emitter water volume reduction should be monitored, definitely monitored over time. And more studies are needed on longer-term impacts of the fertigation reduction, yield, and its potential to affect yield and fruit quality and additional costs to the producers. And I would like to acknowledge the NIFA and the OREI grants, which is where we got our funding for the study, as well as the Northwest Center for Small Fruit Research and different industry contributors, which in this case include AgriCare Inc., Litau Harvesters, which provide harvesters for us to run the machine pick every year. Sakuma Brothers provided the tissue culture plants, Oregon Tilth the certification, and AgroThrive the one of the fertilizers. Questions? Yes.
I'm curious. You mentioned about tissue culture plants you used. Can you use tissue culture plants in organic certified
crops? Yeah, definitely. That is absolutely no problem, at least with the National Organic Program, because it's considered a perennial. So perennials have the advantage of being able to be grown conventional up to a certain point, and when transplanted, they have to stay in the ground for 1 year prior to it being actually considered a certified organic crop. Yes?
Do you know of any organically approved substance that could be used to flush irrigation tubes that might be helpful in controlling iron bacteria, because we have that problem in Florida?
Well, what we were discussing at the conclusion of the project regarding iron bacteria is that the best way of, which is also approved for organic, to deal with iron bacteria is to put a very costly chlorinator before you inject the water into the line. Now, we don't know if the iron bacteria, it gets enhanced by the use of the organic product. But the arum bacteria, usually it's existing, it exists already in the water that you're using. So there's very costly chlorinators that usually inject chlorine gas to the water that doesn't affect the status of the organic status of the water that you're using. And then other growers also use acetic acid. There's peracetic acid that they use to flush the lines. We did not look at that, but that's what I've heard in general. Yes?
You had two treatments, two different fertilizers, but no untreated or unfertilized control in the experiment. And I'm wondering if you had a sense of how vital it is to use any fertilizer on these plants at all.
Oh, that the reason why we didn't have a control with no fertility is that we have determined already that you, in blackberry production, you need fertilizer. Otherwise, your yields will not be comparable or adequate for commercial production. And what we would have definitely liked that we found, we determined later in the studies, that we would have liked to have a line that was not injected and just had water running over time to see if then determine if the actual iron bacteria that was present in the water would be enhanced or not by the use of the fertilizer. So that is something that we could definitely consider for a follow-up study, having a line where we didn't inject anything. Yes?
Last question.
What was your poster number again?
Oh, the number, I forgot. I have a really bad memory about it, but it's in the organic section downstairs.
55 or 56.
55 or 56, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.